Welcome to Cyplecast episode 17, part 2, Barcelona GP. What a great race!
That was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, we'll get onto it later, but when we said the championship starts here, it really does. Before we get started, there's a couple of rumours and bits and pieces to clear up. There's talk that McLaren's new front wing may be a bit bendy. Well, I was keeping my eye on it during qualifying and the race, but I didn't see anything. You found some video on Fresh F1, didn't you?
Well, they had a great animation, which was like a sequence of photographs stitched together to show you what happens to the McLaren on the main straight, and then as it goes into the first right-hand corner. And on the main straight, you can barely see the top of the front wing on the shots because it's kind of disappeared behind the nose. And then as the car slows into the first corner, up pops this wing because, you know, the G-forces are no longer deflecting it downwards.
I don't believe you. I didn't see anything.
No, well, there's no guarantee because it was a series of photographs and not a video that it may not have been manipulated in some way to prove a point. And I couldn't see it on the video myself. But it's an interesting theory.
Although Ron Dennis has been a bit cagey about it.
What did he have to say?
He said, "I think you will find that because it is measured, the whole front wing structure moves an extremely small amount. It has a degree of vertical compliance, but it is feathering. It is a very small amount, and it is very stiff."
It is what?
Feathering.
Right, which is just another word for bending, surely. Or flexing, is it not? So all the grief he's given Ferrari last year for their flexible front wings, and for the underfloor flexing at the beginning of the year, and now he's got a flexible wing, it's feathering.
The pre-race coverage on ITV was a load of faff. There was some nonsense video with Alonso driving a Mercedes and they were trying to interview him at the same time and I couldn't understand a word of it.
Nope.
They also had Louise Goodman talking to Heikki Kovalainen whilst cooking dinner.
Mm.
Interestingly, he has the same kitchen as us.
He does.
But that was the only interesting thing. It's good to know that he shops at MFI as well.
Yes.
Whilst we're on the subject, I'm sick to death of Steve Ryder talking about Lewis Hamilton every 5 seconds.
Yeah, it took probably 30 seconds for him to mention him at the beginning of the broadcast.
I think we should declare this week's podcast a Hamilton-free zone.
I think you're right. I mean, nothing against the man, because obviously he's a very good driver, but I just sometimes think maybe... I was watching the program...
You can have too much of a good thing, that's what it is.
Didn't you just think, you know, just get a room?
Yeah.
Come on, just get it over with.
If you want information about the Boy Wonder, go to the ITV website, they're bound to have something.
Yeah, no more on here though, not today.
There's been a lot of talk about the size of the team's motorhomes recently. I think you blogged about it, didn't you?
I did have a word about it, yeah.
But Alex Wirtz came out with the quote of the century when asked about it, because he said he thought maybe teams were compensating for lacking something else.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Who's got the tallest motorhome?
That would be Ferrari.
Okay, well, Felipe's a bit short.
He is a little man. Also, on Martin Brundle's grid walk, it was interesting to see him at the back of the grid.
We said that.
We did, talking to Davidson and some others. We said he would start at the back to avoid Bernie and the politicians.
Ah, yeah.
We were right.
He was right, yeah. No hassle back there.
Anyway, we better get on with the actual race stuff. They just finished their formation lap. Lights are about to go on and then out, and Trulli has stalled.
Yes. Hands are waving.
A lack of fuel pressure, apparently, and he had to head into the pits while everyone else did the second formation lap. It was a bit of a shame because he did really well in qualifying.
He did.
But Toyota, they seem to struggle when it comes to actually racing.
They do at the moment, yeah.
Alonso tried to overtake Massa on the first corner.
Yes.
It didn't work.
It almost did. What's your take on it?
You can see why, because he had less fuel and obviously he wanted to get in front, make a lead. It was his home Grand Prix, lots of pressure, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that he did get in front of Massa.
I think it was his corner, wasn't it?
It did look like he had his nose in front when it came to the corner.
Well, if you look at the damage when Felipe finished the race, if you look at the damage on his side pod, it was basically full of black rubber from the rear wheel of Alonso's McLaren. So to get his rear wheel right up to the front of the side pod, that corner must have been his. So I guess it was Felipe just being a bit too aggressive and he kind of punted him off the track a bit.
He did. There was contact and Alonso went off into the gravel. And then he came back on, lost a couple of places, ended up behind Raikkonen.
It was a bit of a save, all things considered. I think the BMW drivers gave him a bit more room than they probably should have.
It was probably quite scary, though. He just bounced back onto the track.
Yeah, he wasn't too happy about it, but he didn't lose too much. And I think he probably got away with a bit of a save there. I mean, let's say he did make the start and he didn't go for that lunge around the corner. If he'd have sat behind Felipe for the first stint, knowing that his teammate had a heavier fuel load, it might have transpired that he got jumped during the pit stops and he wouldn't have wanted to be beaten on the racetrack by his teammate. So I guess, as it happened, falling behind him at the first corner, it kind of may have saved his bacon a bit anyhow.
Fisichella kind of did the same thing. He ran wide and jumped back in the middle of everyone.
Equals chaos.
They all had to slow down and Wurz ran into the back of Schumacher.
When Fisichella went off, I think Wurz was another couple of corners back, so he hadn't seen him spin off the track and subsequently fly back on, and therefore he didn't appreciate all the other cars were bunching up in order to avoid the returning Fisichella. And so it wasn't really his fault, he just went flying to the back of Ralph.
He had to retire, unfortunately. There were sparks and everything. It was quite exciting. Mark Webber retired with brake failure. Trulli retired, whilst Ralph, who we thought had retired, came back out to trundle around behind everyone else.
Yeah, he had a broken diffuser or something, didn't he, from the impact?
There was an incredible amount of retirements this race. That's only half of them. The most important one was next, though, Kimi Raikkonen.
A broken Ferrari.
He started slowing down, and it was obvious there was a problem. He made it back into the pits and he was going painfully slowly down the pit lane, but thankfully there was no one else around. It's a long time since I've seen a Ferrari with mechanical troubles.
Yeah, it's not something that would have pleased Mr. Schumacher in the pits either, seeing that car going very slowly around the track.
And the next retiree was Speed with a super duper tyre failure.
Yeah, a bit of an explosion.
It's popped right off, didn't it?
180 miles an hour down the main straight. Looked like a slow puncher that just kind of gave up and the tyre shredded and exploded.
I bet he had a go at the people in the pit lane when he got back.
I'm not sure it's their fault. There was a lot of debris on the track. He probably just picked up a puncher somewhere.
Yeah,
but
you know
around.
What he's like.
Yeah.
Talking of the pit lane, I still think that the corner is too tight.
The new corner?
To go in. The entrance to the pit lane is right on the corner and a lot of people were skipping over the kerb and some people came a bit too close to the wall for my liking.
Ah, yes. It's a bit close. I mean, clearly they've tried to squeeze that little chicane in at the end and there's not a lot much room to play with. They can't move it too far back because of the way the corner leads into it. They've just had to take a little chunk out of the pit lane entry to get away with it.
Massa and Alonso were the first people to pit on schedule instead of because of troubles.
Pitted on the same lap.
Yeah, Massa caught fire. It was brilliant.
You like a good fire.
Yeah, I like to see the man with the fire extinguisher. He was trying to reach the car, but it had already gone off into the distance.
It's got a range of about 5 metres and the car was about 30 metres up the road.
That's funny.
Fire, spray.
The fire went out quite quickly.
Yes.
Massa, later on, he said he didn't even know his car was on fire, which I find a bit weird.
Not with those wing mirrors. He can't see anything out of them.
That's true.
I'm not surprised at all.
You'd think he might go, God, that's a bit hot. My back's getting a bit warm.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Alonso tried a new strategy of coming out on the second stint on hard tyres. I think maybe was he the only one that did that?
He was the only person in the entire field who decided to run the hard tyres as a second choice.
It didn't really work so well for him. He lost at least 10 seconds in the second stint.
Yeah, McLaren seem to be having problems with their tyre choices. I guess they don't have as much data to fall back on as, say, Ferrari do, who were running Bridgestones last year. And they're making decisions, and the decisions they're making are not really playing out as they would expect. Like, in the last race, they found the hard tyre when they put it on went much quicker than they expected. In this race, they put the hard tyre on, almost no performance, yeah. Whereas in free practice on Friday and Saturday, they actually thought the hard tyre might be quite a good choice mid-race.
But we think they brought forward his second stop
just to save him.
Put him out of his misery.
Yes.
Liuzzi retired next. Another slow journey down the pit lane. And Coulthard narrowly avoided him. It was one of those close things. If Liuzzi had been a couple of seconds forward, Coulthard wouldn't have seen him.
Can I just say, this is the fourth race of the season, right? Technically.
Yep.
How come all these retirements and kind of bits going wrong?
Considering all that testing they've just done.
Bulletproof reliability in Australia. Absolutely fine. No major issues. Suddenly we get back to Europe, everything falls to pieces. What's going on?
One of the Renault mechanics had a head cam on.
In the pits?
Yeah. Really cool. Interesting perspective.
You like that?
Yeah. I mean, nothing exciting happened, but if there was an incident, it'd be cool to see it from one of the guys' heads' point of view.
Yes, and there's talk post-race that Bernie might be introducing HD footage.
Really?
Yeah.
Gosh, that's very cutting edge.
Yes, but there you go. If it was HD, you'd have a HD in-pit cam.
A HD head cam.
Exactly.
Jenson Button emerged from his pit stop and almost collided with Barrichello.
Almost.
Jenson claims there was very little room for him to manoeuvre, and that's why he hit the kerb and lost his nose. Everyone else thinks there was enough room.
Yeah.
Who's to say? Nick Heidfeld was leading the race for a couple of laps because everyone else had pitted. But when he dived in the pits for his stop, the Lollipop Man let him go a bit too soon. There was a wheel gun half attached. A wheel nut went bouncing off into the next garage. A very cool Toyota guy stopped it and picked it up for him.
And frantically waved and said, "Hey, I've got your wheel nut here."
Anybody lost a wheel nut?
But Nick still went off.
They let him out.
That was really, really bad management by the pit crew, I think. As much as BMW are finding pace in their aerodynamics, I think they might find they've got a little bit more work to do in terms of team kind of management, because somebody should have made that call to stop that car and bring it back in.
Because it was dangerous and he had to come back in straight away anyway.
Yeah, you don't want to be sending a car out with three wheels, knowingly.
And it effectively ruined his race.
Yeah, it did. Right there and then. Bad call.
The second stint had David Coulthard in fifth, being chased by Kovalainen, and there was a battle between Barrichello and Fisichella for eighth. I thought the midfield was really interesting this race. Lots of good stuff going on.
Yeah, it's something to watch this season, isn't it? Everyone's really close, and some of the best racing is going on there.
At the back, Alba's got a drive-through penalty, although I'm not sure what for.
And ignoring blue flags, I think it was. I forget who it was who was going to overtake him, but he didn't see the blue flags. And presumably he didn't see the new light on his cockpit that lights up to tell him that someone's overtaken. So there he was blindly driving on and got a drive-through.
At the front, Massa was fiddling with something in the cockpit. Again, I'm not sure what it was, but it didn't seem to be too much of a problem.
Didn't they fix it in the next pit stop?
I think they probably
something
did.
Something was a bit loose and they taped it down.
Renault discovered they have a fuel pump problem and the cars weren't getting as much fuel as they thought. So they basically had to switch both cars to a three-stop strategy, which ruined Fisichella's day, but it didn't seem to affect Kovalainen too much.
Well, Fisichella ruined his own day by driving off the track on the first lap.
Yeah.
and the fuel stop kind of problem compounded that issue. But you're right, Kovalainen did a very good job, and at one point he was the fastest guy on the track, wouldn't he?
It's interesting because we thought that three stops weren't possible, but maybe they are in Europe.
Then they're not ideal on the tyres they have now, but I guess they can get away with it if they have to.
Kimi Raikkonen just left, didn't he?
That is going to go down so well.
He just got into a car and left.
Oh, management are going to love him for that. When have you ever seen Michael Schumacher do something like that? Even Rubens Barrichello would never have done something like that, would he, when he was with the team?
No. You wouldn't. I would want to see, you know, what everyone else did.
I can't believe it. What a PR nightmare that was. The camera caught him and everything, just getting into his car. It wasn't a Ferrari.
No. He's just being chauffeured off in some car. He's going to be in trouble.
He is. I mean, admittedly, there was an issue with the car, but he didn't have to drive off like that. I mean, never mind.
Ralf Schumacher retired. Almost ran over his brother in the process. We can only dream, right?
I'd have given him 12 points for that.
Nick Heidfeld retired as well, but that's not surprising given the whole fiasco.
Yeah, I don't know if he damaged his car or whether it was going to go anyway. I suspect probably he was just quite frustrated.
Yeah.
And when he came out with four wheels on his wagon, he just gained the nuts out of the gearbox and just broke it, which is a shame.
Towards the very end, Massa was running away with the lead and Alonso was in third thanks to Raikkonen. He didn't have any extra pace though, which must have been quite frustrating for him and for all the fans that came to see him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he will say that the car was damaged or he lost something when he went over the gravel, but the fact is he wasn't very quick this weekend, was he?
We were watching Coulthard, who was still in fifth, but he lost his third gear and was dropping time to sixth place Rosberg. It looked like he was going to get caught out, but he managed to adapt his style around the corners, avoiding third gear as much as possible, and he got away with it in the end.
Yeah, he was killing. I mean, as you could tell from the in-car footage, now they have sequential gearboxes. You have to obviously go through the gears to get from second to fourth. You have to pass through third, but he was just jumping through it as quickly as he could without trying to do too much damage. Obviously, each time he did it, he was destroying more and more cogs and more bits of the gearbox were ending up flying out. But he did get away with it, just.
Good driving.
Very good driving.
So in total, it was eight retirements. Considering there's only been one or two each race so far, that's a huge amount.
That is terrible. Considering not only that, that they tested this very course last week. And what is the point of a test if you're going to do all this work and the car still break now?
So the final results were Massa, followed by both McLarens, Kubica, Coulthard, Rosberg, Kovalainen, and Sato picked up a point.
1 point for Super Aguri.
Fabulous.
First point ever. Blinding result.
This leaves the Constructors' Championship with McLaren on 58, Ferrari on 49, and BMW on 23. Renault are trailing behind on 11.
So that's a two-horse race then?
Pretty much. He who will not be named is now leading the championship.
Oh, whoopee.
With 30 points, followed by Alonso on 28, Massa on 27, Raikkonen on 22, and Heidfeld down in 15. it's a huge jump for Massa to now be ahead of Raikkonen.
Yeah. I think Raikkonen's in a lot of trouble, don't you?
Well, Massa is obviously the team's favourite because he speaks the language and everything, and he's listening to what Michael Schumacher has to say.
Yep.
And Raikkonen just isn't.
No. He's aloof, and he's kind of disconnected and distracted, and he doesn't seem to be the same Raikkonen of last year. Maybe he's not enjoying it, Ferrari. Maybe he doesn't fit in as well. Difficult to say, but that man is not on it at the moment.
He just went home. Gave up and went home. I think that tells you everything you need to know, really.
Yeah, it's not. The championship battle is not looking good for that man again. And this time earlier on than usual, and not entirely the fault of retirements and breakages. I mean, he had one today, but I think, to be honest with you, he should have been higher up the grid. He shouldn't have been in third position, qualifying that Ferrari.
Coulthard, brilliant race.
Yes.
From start to finish, well, a brilliant weekend, really.
Yeah, we kind of tipped him, didn't we, yesterday, because the testing went well. He did really well in qualifying, which is not usually a strong point. So if he did as well as he did in that car in qualifying, you knew it was going to be a pretty hot race for him.
And he must be really happy to have actually finished a race.
Yes.
Because he's not done so far.
A couple of points in the bag.
Webber did not finish in the same car. What a surprise.
They've got more... That man is jinxed, isn't he? Doesn't matter what car he's driving, what team he's driving for.
I do feel bad for him.
Just goes wrong. Yeah, but I mean, Red Bull Racing, they're definitely moving forward. Of the midfield pack, they look like the team moving forward the most. And if they can sort the reliability whilst, you know, keep pushing the performance, they might get close to BMW.
They keep saying that Honda have now solved all their problems and everything, but I'm not seeing it.
You're not seeing it in the lap times, no. If you look at the in-car footage, I forget who they were showing when someone else was following. Was it Fisichella was following a Honda? You could see it looks more stable. It looks more stable when it comes into a heavy braking zone. It's not skittish and not sort of going sideways in and out of every corner. So they've made the car drivable. However, they haven't managed to make it any faster yet. But at least when it's more drivable, the drivers can now work with it and they're not unhappy to be in the car. And you've got a slightly more motivated driver lineup, whereas in previous races it was just a dog to drive and they were just exhausted at the end of each race.
And Kovalainen has definitely made up for his first couple of races.
Yes.
I bet Flavio likes him now. He's outperforming Fisichella.
Absolutely. He outqualified him and he outraced him. He did a better job throughout the entire weekend, really, didn't he? Has to be said. You think he's probably finding his feet just about now.
What have you found on the web this week?
Oh, I've got some treats for you this week. VisionF1.com. It's been around a while, this site. But I'm not too sure too many people are aware of it. What it gives you is after every race weekend, they kind of feed all the stats and the results into the computer. And you can get a live replay of what happened in each race.
It's really cool.
You like it, don't you?
Yeah.
You basically watch these little dots, which represents each car going around the track, and you've got a map of the circuit. And then you can speed it up or slow it down or take drivers in there and watch specific drivers and see how the race unfolded. Almost in real time, if you wanted to. Very cool website.
You can see them when they go in the pits. Their little dot goes in the pit. Or if they break down, it flashes for a bit and then they disappear. Their dot disappears. It's really cool.
You find it quite mesmerising, didn't you?
I watched the entire race.
Just some shots going around. So visionf1.com, very cool place to check out for a visual representation of what happened in the race.
And then you found one that was too many statistics.
Same kind of concept, a bit more geeky, let's be honest. Some website...
There were no pretty dots. It's not the same concept at all.
No, a website called f1matrix.it. They feed in a whole bunch of stats and they produce these kind of cool grids which you can overlay on top and interactively look into each lap time and split time. And they do complicated stuff like ideal pole and best, fastest lap, and all sorts of groovy stuff that you can dive deeper into and find out all sorts of information out of.
Well, the ideal pole thing, that's like each driver's best sector put together to make their bestest time that could have happened but didn't.
Yes.
It's crazy. Who needs to know that?
It's a bit geeky, but I like it.
I like the dots.
Okay. So that's visionf1.com and f1matrix.it, should you have any spare time on your hands.
Next week, we're at GP Live.
Ooh.
We're going on Sunday, so the podcast might be a bit delayed, probably by a day. We should have lots of information for you.
Yes.
Lots of pictures and all kinds of good stuff.
And if you're going to be there, look out for us.
We'll have the t-shirts on.
And the side podcast badge. Say hi.
Yeah.
Look forward to seeing you there. And if not, remember to check out the podcast, see what it was like.